Hello, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com, and on the line with me today is Judy Feld and Ernest Oriente. And Judy and Ernest are master business coaches with international coaching practices that include a wide variety of executives, businesses, and owners, and professional people. They work with their clients by telephone and email, specializing in global distance learning by telephone, using some state-of-the-art teleconferencing technologies. And they've built powerful, innovative alliances with leading companies all around the world, and are authors of a great book called Smart Match Alliances, which I believe came out in 2002. They've been interviewed in a wide variety of leading magazines and newspapers, including the New York Times, Fast Company Magazine, Fortune, and Business Week. And Judy and Ernest, I'm excited to have you on the call today.
Well, thank you, Tom. We're delighted to be here with you, and thank you for inviting us. And yes, we are certainly passionate about building alliances, because we know that alliances are fun and everybody wins. So thank you for inviting us.
Well, let's start off with, what is an alliance? And in your case, you say a smart match alliance. What is that?
Well, a smart match alliance, this is Judy, is a special kind of alliance. Simply put, alliance is a way for two or more companies or organizations or groups or even individuals to come together to do business for mutual advantage. We've added the principles and models of a smart match alliance to add leverage, to decrease risk, to increase geographic reach, and to increase profitability, all with grace and ease. Now, that's a lot to promise, but we're really about looking at principles of making these alliances smart match alliances rather than merely tactics.
Okay, so our listeners might be wondering, what is an alliance and how do you apply it? I mean, you've described it, but can you give an example of where something, you've helped an organization develop an alliance and something magical has happened?
Sure. Here's just a quick example. We have a client who specializes in working with dental professionals, providing services and products. And we always begin the sort of thinking about alliances with the question. And the question is, I wish. Okay? So I wish everyone in the whole world knew about, you know, my company or our book or our services. That's a little fuzzy. But the whole idea of a smart match alliance, I wish, goes something like this. I wish every dental professional or every dental office knew about my dental service. Okay, do you hear the distinction between the two, Tom?
Yes.
It's a little fuzzy, and the second one is much more clear, much more crisp. So once you answer the I wish, then the question becomes, well, who has access to those dental offices? Who else has a product or a service or something they deliver, or has salespeople calling on dental offices? Who are those out there? When we were able to identify some alliance partners, and as a result of doing this, we located a company in Canada that every week sent a training video to by the internet, you know, that could be accessed very easily, to 22,000 dental offices. Thus was born a smart match alliance between the company in Canada and our client who wanted access to the same audience.
And what's interesting to note, and really an important point, is the audience they shared was the same, but the products or services they provided were different. They were not competitors. So the leverage of the product, the service, the exposure allowed each of them to win in a way that didn't take away from their own business.
So, and I've heard the term alliance for a good deal of my life here, and I've got to wonder, as you encounter alliance opportunities, what are some common misconceptions about what it means to develop an alliance between organizations, between people? What happens when people start to think like that?
Well, one of the common misperceptions is, we'll just shake on it and it'll all be good. That's certainly one. And we caution our clients, and in our book we have a whole section about non-negotiables, how to put deals together. So one of the biggest misconceptions is, gosh, this is going to be wonderful, this is going to be great, and there is no definition of, well, let's see, Tom, what will you be doing in this alliance? Judy, what will you be doing in this alliance? And what will I, you know, Ernest, what will I be doing in this? Have we really clearly articulated what the three of us are going to do individually, and then collectively, the three of us, what we are going to do, and have we put all of that in writing? That's one of the greatest misperceptions in general about alliances. And Tom, really, as we think about sort of building teams, the same rules apply, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, the roles of the team members. And, you know, just a little anecdote to help people remember the importance of defining those roles and responsibilities. Often, Ernest and I work together with two groups or companies or individuals who are wanting to partner together to form an alliance. So one of the earliest questions we ask is because, you know, clearly if there's a product or service to be sold, there's somebody that has to pay attention to business development. So if we picture this, often this is done virtually, but if you picture two parties in the same room and the coach is asking them, and tell us in this alliance where you have this wonderful product or service, who will bring in the business? And they each point to the other one. And then we have work to do.
Mm.
And that is the biggest non-settled item in growing or burgeoning alliances. So, you know, this is kind of first ask the question, who will do what in general, and then who will do what specifically on the many different aspects of a successful alliance.
I have to say that, and this is just a comment on mine, that it seems culturally, as we move people through, you know, the school systems, and we don't really teach how to form alliances, it seems like. And I'd love to hear your point on this. But then we end up in the business world, and alliances are the life and blood of organizations and thriving organizations. What are your views on that?
It kind of goes with a whole set of things that aren't taught, you know, even in famous business schools, in the way that matches real world needs. How to form alliances is related to its cousin, how to negotiate, which is related to its cousin, how to plan. And all of these things, many, many people learn seat of the pants. Entrepreneurs particularly are adept at picking up those lessons, but often with some pain. Corporate teams and groups can sometimes get mired in analysis paralysis as they go over all these methodologies. What we've attempted to do was pick out the main actionable points and even list them with bunches of checklists that say, ask these questions, look out for this, examine that, and don't step over anything.
I love that. This is what's great about your book. Well, okay, let's say that I'm ready. I think I have an opportunity to build an alliance. How can I assess my alliance ability?
You know, Tom, it's a great question. We build a number of checklists in our book, Smart Match Alliance. This is one of those. Specifically on page 25, for those of you that have the book or would like to identify quickly, 25 and 26 of our book. And in here, we really list, and this was one of the greatest challenges for Judy and myself as we were building the book. We said, ooh, gosh, how do we know, Ernest and Judy, how do we know within 5 minutes an alliance with, you know, Johnson & Johnson or with Mark Jones or Mary White is going to be a wonderful alliance? How do we know that? And we couldn't quite articulate it, Tom, initially. We had to extract some key principles that we really had never either verbalized, vocalized, and certainly never put in the checklist. So on this checklist specifically, where we itemized 21 key points, we really looked at it and said, okay, so what are the key points about reputation? You know, what are the skills and reputation that we bring, and how strong is that? And Judy, I'll pause in a moment, and maybe you'll touch on a couple of these. But the key area, number two, theory was about communication. How strong are my communication skills? How strong are Judy's in terms of building alliances? Are we ready to take our alliances out to the world? And then, of course, it's interesting, Tom, these same questions are the same questions that we ask of and observe when we're thinking about alliance partners, so we use it both ways. The third big area was about the whole idea of readiness. You know, were we really ready for alliances? And then did we have the standards? Did we, Ernest and Judy, have the standards ready to take our alliances to the world in a way that would be world class? And then lastly, just in general about our beliefs about alliances. I know, Judy, that was sort of big picture. Are there one or two points maybe that you'd like to share with Tom that really showcases?
Oh, I love it when I get to pick out the favorites from each question. This is very good. And I do want to point out as well that each of these principles on the checklist also serve you well in your pre-alliance business building, whether you are in a large corporation, a team, or a group. This will strengthen your business success even before, or even if you don't even move into an alliance, because we really took a look at the points that were best predictors for success. So, for example, in reputation and skills, are you visible within your profession, your industry, your niches, your specialty? Visibility is an important piece of it. You can have a fine reputation among the 10 people that know about you, which is not quite as valuable as a fine reputation in your broader profession or industry.
Yes.
Things like communication, responsiveness is so important to us. Ernest and I, who together are an alliance, form alliances with other entities as well. And we have absolutely cut off discussions with an otherwise promising potential alliance partner when the responsiveness has been really awful. And we see that if the responsiveness is awful, you know, takes days to get back on a simple question. Mm. If it's not good now, it's not going to be good later.
Mm.
So those are the kind of things we specifically focus on. And often these things are common sense, but you have to kind of remember to pay attention. And a lot of the things that really work well have to do with the category of remembering to pay attention. And, you know, it's very helpful to have these little reminders. On one of our favorite principles, and this is in the category of looking at yourself and the way you operate, will an alliance with you be fun and easy?
Hmm.
Now, fun and easy are not the most popular business adjectives we hear these days, but they are with us. We like our alliances to be fun and easy.
And what do you mean by easy?
Lack of struggle. If you're doing those things that are the best and highest use of your own skills and preferences, what we call in the book our genius work, It will be graceful. You will be in flow. You will be engaged in the process. Now, those are not synonyms for easy, but boy, when that happens, it feels easy, As opposed to struggling and stressing.
And Tom, even in the connections, the couple emails we swapped to book today, to get on a calendar today, or the arrangements for telephone calls, look how easy it was for the three of us to all be here together. Fun and easy. We modeled that actually in being here today.
And your responsiveness, Tom, is excellent. So there's that place on the checklist that you know, you win a big check.
Reading your book, I saw that, and I knew I had to fulfill that area.
We don't think that's the reason.
Well, and here's the other piece, Tom, just, you know, tying this back to, you know, teams. If you replace the term alliance ability checklist and just said team checklist, If you reread these points, this applies the same way directly to your audience and your listeners.
I love that. When I saw that list, I thought, this is how you know a group works well together, especially geographically dispersed, which is one of your areas. So in your book, you talk about an acronym, PINS, P-I-N-S, and you talk about current and target PINS. What is that? Why, and what relevance does that play in developing an alliance?
You know, it's a great question, Tom, and this part about PINS, if you recall, is also what's on the front of our book. The actual push pin was a visual that says we want you to be pinpoint with your alliances. We want you to be right on target. We want you to be right in the center of the bullseye. And that was the reason for the push pins. Judy, say a little bit about PIN.
About the acronym itself.
Sure.
Because it really does have a very positive double meaning. The PINS is really an answer to the question, where do I look for really good alliance partners? And so the answer is PINS. P for within your own profession. And, you know, one example of that is Ernest and I are each separately with our own private clients, business coaches. We are in the same profession. When we came together to form the alliance to deliver distance learning and group coaching and all kinds of corporate virtual services, it was within our profession, but we each had something to add to the mix that was very powerful. So if two engineers, for example, form an alliance, that's the P in the profession. The I is for industry, and this really covers any target industry that you become interested in, well-versed in, expert on, learn the issues and problems of an industry, and their industry organizations can be very powerful in forming an alliance. An example Ernest gave a moment ago was in the dental industry. This is something where the alliance partners were each very knowledgeable and they had different services to provide. Another place to look, which is a broader description, is within any kind of niche. And a niche is simply put a slice of the market, who it is that you are selling to. And this can be defined by occupation. It can be defined by functional area. One functional niche, for example, within corporations is within the HR function. It can be defined by independent operators. It can be defined by retail segments. But you can look for your niches. And the specialty, the S, is a little different from the other three. It's not a slice of the market, but it's an area of expertise or how you deliver your products and services and what you are particularly good at doing. For example, we have experts in developing business plans. That's a specialty that may go across any number of industries or professions.
So,
Ernest, what should we add about PINS?
I think you did a fabulous job. Tom, though, did that stir a question for you?
It did. I'm thinking of the example of the dentist. And so a niche might be for the dentist. Would that be a dentist who specializes in children dentistry?
Perfect. Or those who work, who do cosmetic surgery or oral surgery.
Okay. And a specialty might be, can you give me an example of a specialty in the dentistry area?
Sure. An example of specialty would be, for example, this particular company is able to provide distance learning, teleconferencing types of training for dentists. And you step back, wait a minute, given that specialty, could you provide that for nurses?
Mm.
Or could you provide that for hygienists? Or you could provide that for, you know, doctors or psychiatrists? All of a sudden you say, wait a minute, if that specialty applies and works wonderfully for building learning communities within the dental profession, could that specialty be carried into other nearby medical professions?
Excellent. So where do I look for potential alliance partners? We've talked about PINS, and where would you suggest, if we have a listener who says, well, you know, I have a business, or I have an opportunity, I'm looking, and even with organizations, I imagine there's alliances that can form, and so where do you go looking for high potential alliance partners?
Would you like to do a kind of a little sample role play here? If you will, and you can make this up or take a real example, tell us what your business is and we can answer that more specifically rather than in general.
Let's go with a real life example. I'm willing to jump on the table here.
Great.
And so my business is teaching people how to lead teams and work with and lead these team building activities to create a greater sense of community and connection.
Okay, that's great, Tom. What kind of people and where are they?
Gosh.
I'm pretending I don't know anything yet about what you do.
What kind of people? Well, people everywhere from a classroom teacher to a a manager who's found themselves suddenly leading a group of people, and now they have to figure out how to do that in an engaging way rather than just sitting down and talking about working as a team, to maybe a professor at a college who says, gosh, I'd like to teach team skills and make it interactive rather than just opening the book.
Okay, so you've given us some specifics. The educational system, public, private, and higher education, I heard, and also the corporate world, which is huge, ranging in size for all kinds of sizes and industries. If we were, example, to focus in on just one of those randomly, let's say higher education, might there be an organization that every faculty member at every university belongs to?
Might there be?
I think I know the name of it. Something like the American Association of University Professors.
Right, right. So, yes, is there an organization that does that? I would feel certain that there are organizations that support people in those positions.
Well, Ernest, what if I'm not sure if there's an organization that does, that serves the population I'm interested in? What would you do?
Couple things. I mean, I'd go to, or, you know, I would actually do a search at the website of master organizations. I would do just a Google search and just say, you know, teachers, or I'd use the word teachers, college, and organizations, and I'd let Google or Yahoo do a search for me, Judy. You know, it would be some easy steps. You know, even going back for just a moment, Tom, as you were describing these, I was sort of labeling them for just a second and thinking about, you know, your work in terms of teams under the P for profession. There is the ability to deliver your teamwork models and training directly to those who are coaches and trainers and speakers. That's just within P, within the profession of the world that we work. As we start to take a look at the college teacher arena, that falls under the letter I for industry or profession as they drop underneath. What do they do by profession, which is the I that we're working on. If you were to step back and think about, though, the manager that you mentioned, that would fall under N for niche. In other words, managers, we would challenge you to define, you know, what kinds, though, of industries or professions would those managers be in. Follow us on that?
Yes.
And
so,
it doesn't mean that you limit yourself to a smaller audience. Let's suppose that you serve a wide variety of managers in companies, some of whom are manufacturers, some of them are high tech. You can develop those niches separately and independently and still appear as if you are focused only on them, and that's very appealing. So in other words, rather than the broad-based managers in corporations is too broad to be a niche, but when you start with, for example, manufacturers, and you really hone it down to, let's say, manufacturers of green widgets, wow, you can own that industry.
Not only can you own it, but then we can go out and find the National Organization of Managers who make green widgets, and you can speak for that group, write for that group, and build alliances. You might say, where do the alliances come from? And we say, tell us who attended the last trade show, who set up a booth, who's a vendor, who set up a booth, and there could be alliance partners, 50 or 500 of them, that set up booths at the National Managers of Green Widgets Association last year.
And you don't even have to set up a booth to make those connections.
Right. I love it. I love it. Well, I think that anyone listening to this call begins to see, at least I do, that where you're headed is the... I see the two of you as possibility coaches to really expand what's possible.
Thank you. We like that. Yes.
And so can you... I know that you teach a lot through a teleclass or a teleforum, through distance learning, bringing people together. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Really, just to sort of include two specific areas. We do group coaching, where we bring together people who are in similar industries or by similar titles. For instance, one group might be nothing but, you know, directors or sales directors or VP of sales, you know, that kind of work. We have other types of calls where we bring groups together where we might have 10 CIOs or 10 CTOs or 10 publishing professionals, where we might have those who are in a specific industry or profession and have a broader interest in terms of that. So we do that kind of work. And then more recently, we just completed a program for the last 2 years working with Dr. Marty Seligman using his book, the content that's called Authentic Happiness. And we've just completed a 2-year program with 1,000 participants, people all over the world, honoring our specialty. One of our specialties is building groups in these sort of distance learning programs. So we combined that with our ability to form an alliance, generated almost $2 million over the last 2 years. So
amazing. That is amazing.
And our roles in these things range from being the very visible content or service provider to being the behind-the-scenes manager of all of the systems and models and machines that allow a very specific expert in a certain area to deliver his or her message. So as alliance partners, our roles vary, but the one thing we are certain of in all of these alliances, ranging from relatively small groups to very large distance learning programs, is that we are very, very clear on the exchange of value and who brings what to the alliance.
Wow. Well, can you describe the... Well, one, I'd like to get everybody to know how to find your book and find your website. So if you could list that. And then also, could you describe the services? I mean, some of it you hinted at through this conversation, but if you could be a little more explicit and say, well, this is how we can help you.
Well, we
the
would
listeners.
Not be merely hinting, so you thank you for that question. The center of all of this is at our website, CoachingSuccess.com, www.CoachingSuccess.com. And there are all kinds of links for our book, for our teleforms. We have a wide variety of free articles that we offer to share some specific points that we have written over. Really important is the ability to subscribe to our free newsletter, which is also at the website at CoachingSuccess.com. And then you keep in touch with us with 2 articles a month and some announcements of some of the projects we have going and how you can be involved. Ernest, what else should we let people know about?
That was perfect. And just in terms of the services, Tom, that we provide, clearly we are business coaches. We work with business professionals and owners and executives all over the world. We're certainly doing lots of work in our group environment, and we're masterful building alliances. So with some of our clients, we help them build alliances, we help them negotiate alliances, we help them fix alliances, or we help them and we stay involved. We're actually partners in their alliance. So alliances are something really near and dear to the work that we do.
And by the way, for any questions by email, if you're not going to the website, send us an email to info@coachingsuccess.com, info@coachingsuccess.com, and we'll be back with an answer to illustrate our responsiveness.
That's guaranteed. I can report to our listeners that Ernest is about the speediest responder to email I've yet experienced.
And so, I would agree, even though we're partners, Ernest wakes up a lot earlier than I do.
Yes. Well, so your book, so our listeners can hear this one more time, is Smart Match Alliances, Achieve Extraordinary Business Growth and Success. And I highly recommend the book. What I love about the work that you're doing is it really brings in a component to building team and community in new and exciting ways. As I said, opening up possibilities. This conversation has got me excited and about the possibilities. So I know I have some work to do in this area. And I want to thank you for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you so much, Tom.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com signing off, and I hope that you go and find this book by Judy Feld and Ernest Oriente, Smart Match Alliances. You can find it at CoachingSuccess.com. Again, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.